Bart and Logan are friends who met on the internet. Yeah, Logan and Tim are also friends who met on the internet. And Tim and Bart are buddies too. Now it's the three of them and you. Lots of danger at every corner, fighting androids and lots of monsters. Much more than a podcast. Well, I guess it's only a podcast. And now it's time for a podcast.
Ooh. Welcome to BLT Lunch Break 11. This is Logan Seculo. Tim Tracker and Bart Scott are recording separately today. And no, we haven't had a falling out. No, this is not the end where we all had to like go in and record separately. What happened was I was on vacation for the last week in Orlando, and I didn't have time to sit down and record, and Bart had a crazy week. So we decided, let's all answer some questions via Twitter, and we'll compile it and make a cool episode. And I don't know if this is 10.5 or 11. So we'll call 11, and then we'll just see from there. But this is episode 11, and we're going to answer some of you guys' questions. But so you'll hear me, then you'll hear probably you'll hear Tim, and then it'll wrap up with Bart. Now, we haven't heard each other's questions or comments before we recorded, so we may answer some of the same questions, but let's have some fun with it. A lot of you guys submitted these via Twitter, so I'm gonna pull up the Twitter feed and see what happened. Devon asked, what were my favorite TV shows growing up? Man, it depends. Depends on what you mean by TV show or growing up. Not by TV shows. I know what you mean by TV shows. Growing up, I was a huge Mighty Morphin Power Rangers fan as a kid, and I just saw the movie, which I think the last 30 minutes of were some of the most fun I've had in a movie theater in a long time. The first hour and a half was a lot of setup till they morphed, but I really loved that last little bit. And that was probably my favorite as a small kid. And then as a teen, I got into professional wrestling. And that's where I was. I was at WrestleMania this weekend, and I had a blast. It was just an amazing experience with my son and my family to experience WrestleMania in front of in Orlando with 70,000 other wrestling fans packed into the Citrus Bowl or whatever they call it, the Camping World Stadium that they call it now. It was just awesome. So those were kind of my two loves as a kid. Again, Power Rangers. And then obviously I had some like cartoons that I really enjoyed. But really what took over was professional wrestling. And I had kind of a falling out from wrestling from about 2002, I'd say, until about 2010, which is when my wife, on a whim, sent me and my buddy Will, who you've heard on multiple shows I do, to WrestleMania. And since then, I've pretty much been a weekly watcher of sports entertainment once again. So. All right, hopefully that answers some of your questions. Do you guys actually enjoy the podcast more than your real jobs? That's from BG Things. This is part of my job, is doing podcasts. Would I love to do more of it? Absolutely. So that's where we're doing things like the Pod Cruise, or we're going to hopefully have some advertisers soon. That makes it a more viable business, makes it more part of what we do here, financially successful, so we can make more content. That's why on WDW Today, I have the Patreon account. That's why we look for new ways to create more content, and by that, we may charge, but we'll give more stuff. So again, that's what's going on with the Pod Cruise, and I'm excited for that. And hopefully you guys, someone asked, is the Pod Cruise real? Yes, it's real. It's happening. Me and Bart and Tim's working on it. And then a bunch of our other shows are all going to be together next March. And that's at podcruise.com. Here is the deal. Even though it is next March, the deal and the group rate closes in just a few weeks. And all you have to do is get that $50 in, a $50 deposit. It's fully refundable. And you can do that, and you have no problems. You'll make payments from now until the next year. But to reserve your room and to be part of our group, we only have a few weeks. So I don't know how to like stress it and make it more important. But if you really want to do it, if you want to see the Pod Cruise actually happen, we have to have more people on board. Now, a bunch of you guys submitted that you're interested. And I had some bookings, but we really could use some more. So we appreciate that. Who came up with – this will be let's see how long I've been recording. I'll do a few more minutes here. I'll add some more. Who came up with the intro song, and did you guys have any input into the theme song? Did you think it would make it beyond 10 podcasts? There's a lot of questions there, Eric, but okay. Who came up with the intro song? Me and my buddy Will again and Dylan Spears. the amazing J. Dylan Spears, who is an incredible composer. He does most of the music that I do, whether that's in movies or podcasts or anything that I do in my life. He's the composer behind almost all of it. And we sat down together, and I was texting and talking with Bart and Tim, kind of coming up with ideas, and we landed on sort of a 90s sitcom style. And we sat down. He wrote the music, which we loved. And Will, myself, and Dylan sat down and wrote the lyrics and gave Bart and Tim some time to put in some input, and that was it. And we loved it. We all fell in love with that song. But that's, you know, we're a small part of it. But Dylan, who you should follow on Twitter, who we retweet a lot, he's the musical genius behind all of that. Did you think it'd make it beyond 10 podcasts? Our show? Yes, I believe so. I think we'll be going for years. But do you mean the intro? Maybe not. Oh, let's see. Some of these are not in English, and I apologize to those people who do not speak English, as I cannot answer appropriately. I did just get back from a crazy trip to WrestleMania. I want to share one of those stories with the guys. So I had to do it in my tickets. It's a pretty interesting one. And for those who are talking about the Moon Pie contest, I'm going to hold that off. We're going to do it next week because I need to talk to the guys. So if you submit it, you're all in, but keep submitting and can just tweet us at Moon Pie and at BLT Lunch Break. All right, I'm going to pull up one last question. Let's find one that's amazing. Joseph asked for the best Horror Nights moment. Man, that's hard. That's tough. I'll go with my first Horror Nights ever in 2001. It was a great, great experience. Hold on, I'm telling my wife where the keys I left. They are on my dresser. Sorry, I had to do that. Taking care of business here at the office. All right. I feel like I've answered a lot of these. If I had to change careers, what would I choose? Man, that's tough because I do so. I mean, it sounds like I don't mind me, but I do podcasting and I make movies and I work on a radio show and I work on TV shows. And man, I love what I do. Wrestling is something, though, that I'm not as a wrestler, but there's something when I was sitting there at WrestleMania, there is a bit of me that watched and said, I was. I'm supposed to do something with this form of media, and I don't know quite what it is yet. So maybe hopefully that answers, but I don't want to give away too much because maybe I'm working on something. I'm sorry I keep doing that. That's my thing. Favorite visit? Oh, this is from that Florida guy. And hey, if you don't follow that Florida guy, go follow him. I love that guy. And he does some really great vlogs and fun stuff from Orlando, but he's a British guy. He is my favorite Amerophile. He knows that I love the fact that he loves American culture so much. I love British culture, so we're the same. So he asks, what's Logan's favorite memory of visiting the UK? Oh, that's a really tough one. I spent a lot of time as a kid, a teen there, and I often spent time in Edinburgh, Scotland, or Glasgow, but at a resort called Glen Eagles where I could do falconry, which I may have talked about here. And I loved doing that. I love the outdoors in Scotland. I love Scotland. I love England as well. You have my love there. I've spent multiple summers in Oxford and in London and really love the culture, love the people there. But there's something about Scotland that it reminds me of home in a weird way. And not like yes, I know I have Scottish blood in me. That's great. But in a way it feels kind of like the South. Like it has this vibe of, the people, even the accent, the southern accent is a derivative of the Scottish accent, and you can very much tell that when you're there. It's not, people kind of sometimes complain about the Scottish accent being hard to understand. I actually sit there and usually, and I'm like, oh, I typically can pick up on it because I've been surrounded by the southern accent my whole life. And I don't know, the people are very, very much blue collar, cut in the same vein. And I fell in love with the beautiful game of soccer there. I went to see Celtic in Glasgow play. It was just in a friendly match. I forget even who they were playing. And I fell in love with it. And since then, I've been a diehard Orlando City fan. I'm a diehard Celtic fan. I've been trying, the local Tottenham Hotspur club has been trying to get me on board, and I'm working there. I'm almost there. The only reason I have a connection with them, and this will show how nerdy I am, and I'm not afraid to tell you guys anything, is that I wanted to buy a jersey or a kit when I was in England as a kid and I didn't know who. And I looked up and I believe Baby Spice's favorite team is Hotspur. So I decided to go for the Spurs and buy one of those. So I have a jersey somewhere. And I do. I always like the underdog team, and I like them a lot. I like their branding, and that goes a long way for me. All right. Well, I feel like I've answered a good bit of these, and I know these guys went on a little bit longer than me, but I don't want to take up too much time. I got some great experiences from this trip that I can't wait to share. Oh, here's a good last one. Who would win the BLT Lunch Break Triple Threat Ladder Match, and what's your wrestler name? Now, I don't know what the other guys are going to answer, but who would win? I would say in a ladder match, Tim probably's got it just because he's got the height to reach. He's got the height for the big. They posted a GIF of Edge, taking down Jeff Hardy, which, by the way, welcome back, Hardy boys. And so I feel like Tim would probably win the ladder match just due to height, and he's in probably the best shape of the three of us. And what's your wrestler name? I always joked around my wrestler name would be the Beekeeper, and I would wear this. It was actually for a musical we wrote called Wrestling the Musical that never materialized. But I was the Beekeeper, and I wore a big giant beekeeper suit, and it was something ridiculous, very much in the vein of the Shockmaster. For those who are wrestling fans, all right. Well, let's kick it over to my buddy and yours, the Tim Tracker. Who, buddy? Tim. I was there a week. I didn't even get to see you. I miss you. Come to Nashville. Come hang out. We'll kick it over to Tim, and then after that, Bart will wrap it up. But again, before I leave you guys, I want to talk to you about just a couple quick things I usually do at the end of the show. I don't know if Bart does them. If he does, I apologize. BLTLunchBreak.com. You can obviously follow us on our social media, but there you can shop. You can also sign up for the cruise, podcruise.com. If you have any questions, because we only have a couple weeks to make this thing happen, I'm just being completely honest with you guys. I know it's in a year, but to keep the rates where we are and to book on this cruise, you have to book within I think it's a 60-day window. So from when we opened it up a couple weeks ago, we don't have very long to get those $50 deposit rooms in, and especially if you're single because those are going out. So what I need you to do, go to podcruise.com and sign up for the cruise. $50, fully refundable. If you're thinking about going, even thinking about it, that's the way you need to do it. And if you have any questions about it, feel free to reach out to me personally, and I'm happy to answer any questions. It's going to be a blast. 3 days on the Norwegian Epic, March 7th through 10th of 2018. Let's have a blast podcast and just hang out together. That's honestly, I said that before. I said that a couple of my Facebook groups. I look forward to podcasting and all that, but I just want to hang out with everybody. I just want to spend some time and really connect with you guys on a little bit of a deeper level. All right, let's kick it over to my buddy, the Tim Tracker.
Now, I'm sure that this situation has been explained to you guys already, but today we're doing a special podcast where Bart and Logan and myself are all recording 15 minutes on our own, and then we're going to mash them all up together because we couldn't all get together and record one podcast together. Now, for me, Tim, this concept is completely alien to me because, like, Logan does his own podcast, Bart does his own podcast, I do the vlog, but all of my sentences are all, like, strung together and then cut up, like, cut up and then strung together and edited to make me sound like I know how to speak in full sentences, where I actually don't. Like, I know how to do it, I'm just not good at it, if that makes any sense. So I'm actually, like, really nervous doing this. I feel like I have to keep talking and all this other stuff, which is totally new to me. So I do like the fact that we have questions that we have to answer, and I hope that I can, like, actually answer these questions correctly and in enough time. And see, this right now, I feel like I'm just, like, saying things to say things because I'm like, all right, they told me I should record 15 minutes, and I'm like, man, 15 minutes sounds like a really long time because I feel like I'm going to answer these questions and it's going to be like, all right, well, you just recorded for about 3 seconds, and I'm going to be like, man, that really stinks. Well, let's give it a try. All right. So, Devin was the first question that I wanted to ask. Devin was the first question that I wanted to answer. See, I just did it. I acted like I was recording a vlog where I was going to, like, just edit out that, and I'm not. I'm going to leave it all in so you guys can hear my flubs and stuff like that. So Devin asks, what were all your favorite TV shows growing up? Your favorite TV shows growing up? Man, I feel like now that I've realized that I'm going to have flubs and I'm like, if I was just recording a vlog, I could edit that out. I'm going to, like, mess up so much while I'm talking. I'm going to be so self-conscious of it, but hopefully you guys are cool with it. Like, I'm going to mess up, like, kind of a lot. And I might say, like, a lot. Man, this is nerve-wracking. I can't believe that there's, like, I said it again. I said, like, I can't believe that people just sit here and talk into a microphone and they're totally good at doing it by themselves. Wow. Bart, Logan, I commend you guys. So, back to Devin's question. What was your favorite TV shows growing up? I've been a fan of The Simpsons for a really, really long time. And it was actually really interesting because for the longest time, my mom didn't want us to watch The Simpsons because it was such a bad influence. Like, it wasn't a good cartoon. It was one of those, like, adult humor cartoons. And I don't know, maybe we reached a certain age or something like that. And my mom's like, okay, you can watch it now. But I think what really happened was there would be like all these like raunchy episodes where there were like adult humor and like fart jokes and stuff like that. And then they had one message, or they had one episode with a message. And she's like, all right, you guys can watch this. Because we used to watch X-Files. So we had this like huge Fox block. We would watch X-Files as a family. And then we would watch The Simpsons too. And I don't know, The Simpsons have always been my favorite show, like, of all time. I could always watch The Simpsons. Now, what else? What else did I watch growing up? It was a lot of cartoons. I can't think of any, like, I know that a bunch of people watch, like, sitcoms, like Three's Company or Growing Pains or whatever. I don't think I ever watched any of those. I guess I watched Family Matters a little bit, but it's not like I would sit down and be like, you know what? I'm going to watch a Family Matters episode. I don't know. I'm going to stick with The Simpsons on this one and just say, like, that's the way that it was. Simpsons. This year, I'm, like, just saying things to, like, extend my time out because I just looked at the time and I've been going for, like, maybe, like, 4 minutes. That's pretty good. Pretty good so far at 4 minutes. So let's go on to the next question. If you had to change careers, this is from Gina. If you had to change careers, what would you choose? So when I was younger, I had always wanted to be a marine biologist. Like, I love the water. It's like my favorite thing in the world is going swimming or going out into the ocean. Oh no, I had a burp. That's not good for podcasting. Obviously loved going out into the water. I loved swimming in the ocean. I loved seeing the fish. Like, I love going to aquariums. And when I was in middle school, I think it was middle school, there was this opportunity for a field trip, which was sea camp. And you would go away on a bus and you'd like spend, I feel like it was only just a couple of days. I don't remember it being like a really long trip, but we would drive down to the Keys and there was a marine institute down there that you would go to, and it was an overnight camp. And I have terrible vision. Like, my vision is horrible. I wear contacts right now. And if anybody else wears contacts, you know, like, I have a negative 550. That's what I wear. That's in both eyes the same. And so when I went to this camp, I really enjoyed it, but I was so upset because I didn't have prescription mask or anything like that. I had to take my glasses off to be able to swim and like wear the mask. So I couldn't really see what was there. And I feel like I missed out on a lot of stuff. And I still remember to this day, there was a type of jellyfish down there that's called a Cassiopeia jellyfish, or an upside down jellyfish. And that was the coolest because the jellyfish doesn't actually sting you. Well, it does. It has stinging cells and they come off, but it's not a terrible sting. It's about the same as like pins and needles, maybe a mosquito bite at the most. But if you pick it up underneath, you can hold the jellyfish in your hand and it doesn't sting you. And like when you're in middle school and you're super into marine biology and that sort of stuff, picking up a jellyfish is mind blowing. And like now as an adult, I want to go back to that sea camp and like do these same things again, but wearing contacts so I can actually see what's going on. And like we went like net fishing in the mangroves and we caught like a little baby barracuda, and then we took it back and we put it in a little, they released it later, but we put it in a little tank and we like studied it and like, all right, here's a little baby barracuda, here's why it was there. And it was just such a cool experience being able to see it actually out in the wild and like catching it and like, oh cool, we can see what we caught. And man, I want to go back to this thing. I want to go back to the marine camp or sea camp. I also went to space camp, which was awesome too. There aren't as many, like I told you guys before, I have the worst memory in the world. There aren't very many memories of space camp. The only thing that I remember is sitting on kind of like a seesaw thing, but instead of going up and down, I could spin around. It was just like a board on a pivot point in the center, like a bearing right in the center. And they gave you sandbags. And so you had like five sandbags on your lap and you were sitting across from somebody that weighed about the same as you, and they had 5 sandbags in their lap, and each of you would pick up a sandbag, and at the same time, you'd throw it, like, to your left. So I would throw the sandbag to my left, and because I'm facing the guy across from me, he would throw it to his left, and then we would start spinning, and they're like, here's how, like, you're not in space, but this is sort of how space works, because you're using the inertia of you throwing the sandbag off of the seesaw thing to create momentum. And like with zero gravity or microgravity, you would have to use the same thing. You can't just, you know, like, well, I guess you could. You would jump, but the momentum would carry, and that's what's happening. But if you didn't have anything to push off of, and you were just out in the middle of space, like in a spacesuit, and you took something, you threw it to your left, you would move to the right, because you're force would be exerted in either direction as you were throwing the sandbag, and you were being, you know, forced away from the sandbag. I don't know where that came from. That was just a story about space camp, which was not related. I don't think I'd ever want to be an astronaut. That sounds very frightening to me, but I am, like, really, space interests me, so I don't know, maybe I could be like the space physicist or something, like somebody that does rocketry. But I'd like to, like, I don't know, I wish there was, like, a safe way, like, here's, like, a really simple plane that you can take up into space, and then you can see what it's like with zero gravity and, like, look down on the Earth, because I think that that would be way cool. But I know that that's not a thing that could happen, in the near future, at least. I know that we're working on it, but, okay, sorry about that. Next question that I'm going to answer is from Brooke, and she says, is there a movie from your childhood that still resonates with you today? I did not think of an answer for this one before I started recording like I should have. So I think Jurassic Park, but I feel like I should be picking a movie that has like a, like some sort of, like not what's the right word? Like a movie that has like a story, like not a story, like a moral to it, where it's like, oh, that movie taught me that if I build it, they will come, or, you know, I don't know, Field of Dreams, but I don't know. But I'm, like I've said before, I'm terrible at remembering what happens in movies. Oh no, I have another burp coming too. What do I do? Oh no, okay. All right, sorry, podcast audience, I just burped in your podcast ear. My fault, I'm sorry. Yeah, oh man, I feel like maybe I should have picked a different question, or at least thought about this one a little bit more, because I don't know. Maybe, yeah, I guess it would be Jurassic Park, and that's just merely because I can't remember any other movies that I saw from my childhood. I feel like I really liked Lost Boys, too, when I was younger, but I wasn't like, it didn't resonate with me. I wasn't like, I'm going to become a vampire, but I guess I wasn't going to become a dinosaur either. I just really liked dinosaurs. I like, there, this is what we've learned from Tim today. He really likes dinosaurs, he really likes sea creatures, and he does not want to be an astronaut, but he does like space. So, I don't know, maybe if there was a movie about, like, dinosaur astronauts and battling sea creatures, that would be, like, the choice right there. That I would, like, that's the movie that shaped my childhood. Man, I just was remembering about, some sheets that I had on my bed that had all kinds of dinosaurs on them, and I remember the Ankylosaurus was my favorite one ever, which is that one that looks like an armadillo, and it's got like a big like club on the end of its tail. I don't know. That's like I said, I'm not good at this podcasting thing. I will just ramble on and on about the most incoherent stuff, and I will flub a lot of things, and I will tell you about dinosaur astronauts, because that sounds amazing. What would the name of a dinosaur astronaut movie be? Like, what do you call it? Dinosaurs? Dino-nauts? Dino-nauts. Dino-nauts sounds like you just tied a bunch of dinosaurs into a knot, though. So what would it be? Would it be, like, Astrosaurs? Astrosaurs doesn't sound good either. All right. Do me a favor. Tweet me a picture of an astronaut dinosaur, number one, or tweet me the name of, like, astronaut dinosaurs. Or should it be the other way around, where it's astronaut sea creatures fighting dinosaurs? So, like, astronaut, and they don't have to be creatures, they can, well, I guess they're all creatures, but like astronaut fish, fishtronauts, Fishtronauts kind of sounds really fun, actually. Or like Astrofish. These all like really flow off the tongue much better than Dinonauts. Dinonauts just doesn't sound good. Astrofish or Fishtronauts sound amazing. So, all right, so we figured it out. You can still tweet me your ideas, but I think we're going with Astronaut Fish Fighting Dinosaurs. That's where I'm going. And this has been a moment in Tim's mind. And this is why I will never have a solo podcast. And I'm sorry that you guys had to deal with this, but I think I did fairly close to 15 minutes, which is good. I think I'm maybe, you know, like a couple of minutes shy, which isn't, I mean, I'm going to go with this. I'm gonna leave it at this. And we promise you guys next week, it won't be as incoherent rambling as it is this week. I'm sure the other guys like Bart and Logan, theirs were probably amazing podcasts that was just like, hey, here's a little like tidbit, like a nice story. Bart's so good at telling stories. And I'm sitting over here talking about Fishtronauts. Man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you guys had to listen to my Fishtronaut story, even though it was probably very fun. Now I'm just rambling because I'm like, I want to get those 2 minutes in. All right, I'm going to leave it at that. And I think I was in the middle because it's it's BLT, but I think we did it backwards because Bart's going to do the sign off. So thanks for starting it out, Logan. And now on to Bart.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Wow, I mean, I don't know about you guys out there in BLT land, but I'm really, so far, I'm blown away by these answers. I never expected such things from either one of them or just that one. Hey, gang, it's Bart, the B of the BLT, as you know. You know that. I don't need to explain that to you. I know that Logan explained to you that what's going on, and by now you're well aware, so... No need to go over that again. But we did have some questions. That's what we talked about. And as I said, the guys have given their answers or answer. I couldn't decide. You know, there was a couple good questions. So I'm going to kind of just try to hit the ones that really that struck me the most, if you will. And I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't really tell you the secret, you know, the DC secret origin of, or that's Secret Wars, I'm not sure, of Tim's mustache, and where it derives its incredible powers. I don't know the answer to that. So I'm sorry to whoever asked that question, and asked it of me specifically. I feel like I've let you down already, and I'm sorry. But Tom Green, but not the same one, I don't think. He spells it with an H, so that's good. I just read the question about that BLT would make great comic book characters. I think we would, but okay. So there's three here, and they're right in a row. So I'm gonna hit them both. I mean, if you guys follow us on Twitter, you can see these answers. But Gina asked an interesting question. She said, "If you could change careers, what would you choose?" I mean, are we talking realistic? Or are we talking like the sky's the limit? Believe me, I'd love to change careers. I mean, a lot of you know, but maybe a lot of you don't. I am an author. I've had a couple books published, and I do a couple podcasts, but I do have a day job. Honestly, I wish that weren't the case, but it is for now. We'll see. But I would love to be able to just write full-time and podcast, and that would be it. And maybe, you know, do public appearances and do public, you know, public speeches, public speaking. Obviously, I'm a very good speaker, even though I don't know how, apparently. But I would love to just be a best-selling author and have that be my career. But, you know, beyond that, I don't know. I always wanted to be in radio, even since I was a little kid. And I guess that's probably why I got into podcasting. It's kind of the modern equivalent, except you don't get paid for it. I'd love to get paid. I love old-school radio. I would love to do a morning radio show. Like, I wouldn't even mind getting up at the, you know, pre-dawn to get down to a station to do a show in the morning. I would love to do that. I'd love to have a crew, you know, like an old school morning radio crew. Now, I wouldn't do like the wacky morning zoo type show, but, you know, I'd love to have like a really funny co-host / sidekick. And I'd love to, I mean, it's kind of a stereotypical meme, not stereotypical, but cliche, I guess, I'd love to have like a female co-host and like a really goofy guy or something, you know, and just to have like a couple different dynamics in the studio. I think that would be a blast. And to be able to do it every day and just be topical and talk about whatever's going on that day. I mean, if you could do it and the station wasn't like really like clamping down on you, I mean, this would be the time. There's certainly a lot to be talked about. Plus, I just think the interesting thing about radio is like, you know, you get to have a little taste of fame, but you can still walk down the street most of the time, you know, because the odds of becoming a Howard Stern are pretty slim. But if I could have a successful show in a decent sized market like this, like you guys, I'm in Chicago or just outside of Chicago. If I could have a successful show here in Chicago, I mean, we've got a morning show here called Eric and Kathy, who've been on for close to 20 years, if not 20 years at this point, pretty close to it. And, they're not known nationwide, but they've been on here for that long, and they're, you know, it's not really my cup of tea, but it's an adult contemporary pop station, and they're, you know, very safe and clean, but they're fun, you know, they have a good time. And, I think they're both knocking back, you know, a mil a year, 2 mil a year, something like that. I can handle that. To go talk every morning? Are you kidding me? I'd do it for considerably less than that, so I'd love to be in radio. I mean, if you're talking like a more realistic job, I don't know. I do sometimes. This sounds weird, but I actually wish I was good at sales. I wish I could have been a really good, like, successful salesman. I admire my stepfather. I admire quite a bit. He's definitely one of my heroes. And, you know, stepfather is a technical term, but he's my dad. And he is a born salesman. He's got the gift. And I think you have to be born with that. And I'm envious of it because I don't have it at all. I hate talking to people I don't know. I have a crippling fear of rejection. So everything that you have to do to be a good salesman, I'm not aggressive. The minute somebody says no or just says, no, I'm not interested, I'm like, okay, thanks for your time. I'm out. You know, I retreat as quickly as possible. I don't keep pushing the subject. And again, so that's why I'd be a terrible salesman. But I think I wish I was good. I wish I had that thing, because I think honestly, if you're a good salesman, it's kind of an easy way to make a living, depending on what you get into. You know, it's old fashioned to make fun of car salesmen, but look. You know, there's guys that sell Cadillacs and Mercedes and stuff that are putting back a pretty good living, and they're going to retire pretty comfortably. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that because they're going to work crappy hours, long days, weekends, holidays. I don't want to do any of that. But I'm just saying, I wish I had the gift for sales. Like, I could just not take no for an answer and be persuasive and charming and make a living. And, you know, especially like guys that do outside sales where they really get to set their own hours and their own schedules, and you can kind of live a much more, you can have kind of a casual work week. I admire that, sure. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't always have to be like the blue sky dream career. There's part of me that thinks I would have been good at real estate. But again, I don't like the cold calling. But real estate's seems to me like you're being a realtor. There's a slight better chance that the business will come to you, which is, what do you do with it? Can you close it? You know, I think I'm a good closer, but I'm not a good cold caller. I'm not a good opener. You get things set up and then let me come in, and once I'm comfortable with somebody, I think I can close, but it's getting there. So Gina at Velistia, with the up avatar, I hope that answered your question. I don't know if I answered the question at all, but one of those numerous things that I mentioned. I mean, of course, I would love to be a producer. I would love to produce television and movies and animation. I mean, I'd really... on a personal level, I don't know that he was a good person, but I admire Jeffrey Katzenberg a lot from his years at Disney and even at DreamWorks. You know, a guy who just said, I've got an idea. And then brings together a crew of writers and animators, whatever, and says, here's the idea. I want this beat. These are the characters. Now you go make it. I would love to be in that position. Who wouldn't? I mean, you get to be a creative without having to do the real blood, sweat, and tears. You get to say, here's the idea, and then you go away for a little while, and you come back and say, what have you done so far? This is good, this is not. Go away for a little while, come back. I mean, really what I'm saying is I'd like to be Walt Disney is what I'd like, you know. Walt did that a lot. I mean, it's legendary the way he pitched Snow White to his animators and his writers. That he sent them all to dinner at the end of the day and said, "You come back when you're done." And they all came back, and he acted out the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and then they went and, you know, actually did it. Who wouldn't want that job? And Jeffrey Katzenberg did the same thing with The Lion King. They were on a plane, I believe, and he said, "I've been thinking about the story, and it's a story about being young and irresponsible, and then something bad happens, and you have to face your mistakes, and you have to face responsibility, and you become a man." And he's like, "I would like it to take place in Africa," and something, you know. And he kind of, and from that, they created The Lion King. You know, Jeffrey Katzenberg basically is responsible for The Lion King, because that was not based on pre-existing material. Although you could say, and they even admitted, that as it developed, it took a lot of its cues from Hamlet, obviously. No surprise there. But, so yeah, I mean, look, Blue Sky, if I could do anything, I'd love to be a producer. You know, of some kind, whatever that means. You know, of course, I would love it if my book, The Cats of the Castle, got optioned, you know, for the screen rights, and I could work in the deal that I was actually an active producer or consultant on it. You know, I would love nothing more, but, you know, hasn't happened yet. But it's early. Book's only been out since November. Anything could happen. But so I hope that answers your question, Gina. Next up, Simon Isbell at S.I.J. Isbell. Hi, guys. If you could go back in time, stop singing, Tim, when and where would you go? Great show. Keep up the great work. Oh, that's okay. I appreciate that. That's awesome. I wasn't trying to be self-serving. we were thinking that Tim was going to break out into a little Cher. If I could turn back time. I mean, you should know by now, if anyone on this show breaks out into a song, I'm the culprit. If you could go back in time, when and where would you go? I have an answer. I have a stock answer to this that I will give you first. And then I have one I've never really shared, but I think about it all the time. I mean, you're supposed to say I'd go back and, you know, stop something horrible from happening. You know, you're supposed to go back and rewrite history or whatever. But, I mean, come on. That's not what this wish is for, unfortunately. My stock answer, and I mean this, is I would love to go back. And now you guys know, most of you know us because Logan, Tim, and myself all have some kind of Walt Disney World connection. We're all three huge fans, and that's kind of how we came together, which answers another question, sort of, because we all, in our online presence, have a Walt Disney World connection. And just had an appreciation of each other and just met, you know, and then BLT happened. But we've always made a point to try to keep BLT as Disney-free as possible. We want this show to be about, well, first of all, we want it to be accessible to everyone, not just, you know, uber Disney nerds like us. So, but my pat answer is I would go back to 1980, probably four, which is the first year that I went to Walt Disney World as a kid when I was 9 years old. So Tim and Logan would be born eventually. But when I was 9 years old, I went to Walt Disney World in 1984. I would love to. In fact, I'd even love to go back to 82. Nah, maybe not. Maybe 83. Early 80s, I would love to go to Epcot Center. I'd love to go back. And I miss, you know, the 80s. And of course, you know, the older you get, you guys will find stuff. Those of you that are in your 20s and even 30s, once you hit 40, I'm 41. I'm looking down the barrel of 42. You become more and more nostalgic. You can't help it. It just happens. And I miss the 80s. I even miss the 90s. I miss my 20s, you know, which was the mid-90s. But, I would love to go back to the early 80s, and I would specifically love to go back to Epcot Center and see how it was, you know, when it was all brand new, and I mean, when the paint still smelled fresh and everything was crystal, you know, just clean, and just, you know, the trees hadn't even really, the trees were still saplings, you know, that are now huge. Yeah, I would, if I could go back for a day and just experience that. I mean, ideally, if I go back to a specific date, I would go to, you know, March of 1984 and go back there with my grandfather, who took me there for the first time. And if I could, yeah, I would give 10 years of my life up to be able to go back and relive one of those days again. But so yeah, I know that's a weird answer, but it's true. The other answer would be I would go back to it would have been 1990, probably 1996 or 97. Because I hadn't met my wife yet, and we met in 98, and I was taking classes at a local junior college, College DuPage, my alma mater. Only took me 10 years to get a 2-year degree. I think it's a reverse record of some kind. Because I would go and then stop and go and stop. I was working, I was waiting tables, bartending, whatever, you know. So I would just take classes here and there, and I finally got enough credits to get a degree. But and look where it's gotten me, you know. Speaking of the career changes, there was a day I was sitting in an English class at a junior college, and I had one of my favorite teachers I've ever had turned me on to Richard Brautigan and some other great, like, you know, 60s and 70s writers. But Richard Brautigan, look him up, one of my favorites. His most famous work is a story called Vida. I think it was pronounced Vida, V-I-D-A. It's about this hippie dude who works in a library, but it's not a typical library because you don't take books out. People bring books and leave them there, books that they've written. So they're all like stacks of paper, and some are more like bound books. Some are just literally loose leaf paper and things. But anyway, I'm not going to get into the story, but great writing. The professor, I know, was a frustrated writer, and he kind of checked all the boxes. You know, he was kind of disheveled. He actually looked like a Weasley. He had kind of stringy red hair and a mustache. Shirt was always kind of rumpled. The sleeves were always rolled up to the elbow. If he wore a tie, it was like never actually, you know, tightened all the way up and stuff. And I think this came to light later, had a fondness for the drink and possibly for the ladies, allegedly. He's not going to hear this. I'm going to cut his name out. But one day we were sitting in class, and a professor, we were going through a short story unit, and we had done this. We just finished a story called Paul's Case. And he's like, we're going to watch, there was a short film made back in the late 70s or early 80s based on the story Paul's Case. And he goes, the lead actor, the guy who plays Paul, you might recognize him. Well, you probably know his sister more than him. And I just, out of the blue, for no reason, said out loud, Eric Roberts. And he stopped, he looked at me and goes, oh my gosh, have you seen this? I go, no, of course not. He's like, it is Eric Roberts. I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. And then there were literally like 3 more points in the class, in a 45-minute class, where I just guessed the answer to what he was about to say without having any prior knowledge. And at one point he looked at me like astonished, and everybody, like people in the class were like, whoa, you know. It was like, what's with this dude? I was a little older than most of the students. There was one other guy who was actually older than me, because I was in my early 20s, and there was a guy who was probably closer to 30, and he was like, dude, what's going on with you? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I mean, it was a day where I was batting 1,000, and it was a Friday. And the professor looked at me and got a big grin on his face and said, you really should go buy a lottery ticket today. He's like, this is amazing. He's like, honestly, you should go buy a lottery ticket. And I laughed. I never did. And I know this sounds stupid, but there's not at least a month that goes by in my life since, in the past 20 years, where I haven't thought, what if I was supposed to go buy a lottery ticket that day? So there's your selfish answer, is that maybe I would go back to that day and buy a lottery ticket and see what happens. Maybe that was my day. Maybe that was the day the universe was going to reward me, and I screwed it up, you know, because I don't believe fate is written, so, or whatever. So, you know, I also don't believe in, if it's supposed to happen, it'll happen. I think we can screw things up sometimes, and maybe I did. I don't know. So there's your answer, my selfish answer. And then finally, I want to cover this one because I think we ignored it once before. But Brooke at Brookie underscore 1107. Is there a movie from your childhood that still resonates with you today? Yes, absolutely. There's a million of them. There's two that immediately came to mind, and one doesn't really count. I can't really say it was my childhood, but I was going into high school, so I guess that counts. I mean, really, the 1989 Batman, you know, had a huge, profound impact on me. But so did The Rocketeer. The Rocketeer is one of my favorite movies of all time. That had a huge impact, and it's still, every time I still, if it's on, I watch it. I will occasionally just rent it. I don't own it, which is weird. I should, right? I love The Rocketeer. a movie from my childhood where I was actually technically a child that resonates with me a lot to this day is Labyrinth, the Jim Henson movie. Actually, both. Labyrinth and prior to that, Dark Crystal. The Dark Crystal more so as I get older, but Labyrinth had a huge impact on me and still does on all my on my writing, on my daydreaming, on my thoughts. I think about the movie Labyrinth a lot. You wouldn't think I'm, you know, a fantasy geek or whatever, but that movie is a category unto itself. You know, it's definitely its own thing and exists in its own world and universe. And the closest thing to it is probably The Dark Crystal, and that one also had a huge. I saw that very young. I saw it in the theater. I saw both those movies in the theater, but I remember seeing The Dark Crystal in the theater, and the whole experience just had a huge impact on me. So, those would definitely be The Rocketeer, even though I was a little older, but definitely Labyrinth has a huge impact on me, and of course David Bowie. I mean, you know, I never got to be a huge David Bowie fan, but then I hear things, I'm like, I'll hear a David Bowie song, go, oh, I forgot how great this is. He really was a genius. You know, the crazy thing is he wasn't the first choice to play Jareth in that. There was a great... There was a good autobiography about Jim Henson that came out about, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago. Recently. I'd say 3 years ago. I listened to the audiobook of it, and I think I'm glad I did, because I don't know if I could have got through it. First of all, the book was a tome. It was a Bible. It was huge. And the first, like, I feel like the first 6 chapters are just about Jim Henson's lineage, but I think it was just called Jim Henson. It's a white cover, but... the old Jim Henson stuff, Sam and Friends, like the early stuff, I gotta admit, that doesn't resonate with me as much, but once it starts getting into the Muppet Show and the Muppet movies and then, you know, Dark Crystal and Fraggle Rock and Labyrinth and thing, then it just starts cooking. And then you get all the way up to, like, the Disney stuff and the fateful dinner with Michael Eisner at Portobello in Downtown Disney, which I, you know, I've put a few videos on YouTube. And mind you, I say that with my cap, you know, firmly in hand, because there's a guy on the show who is the YouTube guy, not me. But I have put a few up there. One of them you can actually see where I made a stop at Portobello just to kind of, you know, mark the fact of that that's what it represents to me. I've eaten there with my wife, but I don't think about that. I think about the fact that one night Jim Henson and Michael Eisner sat in there with their cronies and hammered out the details of the Muppet deal back in the late 80s. But the point of this long, pointless story was when they talk about Labyrinth, they talk about how it wasn't originally Bowie. It was going to be Sting, maybe. And then I forget who else. There were a few actors that they had in mind before they finally got to Bowie. And now it's like, I can't imagine anyone else. I can't even imagine Sting doing it. Especially, he probably would have looked too much like his character in Dune. But anyway, yeah, that's it. Labyrinth has had a huge... I'll say Labyrinth is the... number one answer to that question, Brooke. So, anyway, that's it. You know, we said we're only going to do about 15 minutes a piece, and I've gone definitely over my time. So, anyway, and I got to get back to work. Not really. I'm actually, it's like 10:30 at night, and I'm down in my basement. But anyway, I got to go to bed. I got a long day tomorrow. So, what did I have for lunch today? I had a Lean Cuisine. I had chicken enchilada suizas, or suizas. How do you say it? I don't know. I did have my favorite salad tonight, coincidentally. I even periscoped it for everybody because people had such a strong reaction to it. I've discovered Periscope. It's, you know, it's only about 7 years too late and nobody uses it anymore. But that tends to be the way I discover things, and I kind of like it that way. I said, I think now I'm going to get into this thing I've heard of called MySpace. You never know. But anyway. Well, I mean, I hope you've learned some valuable lessons about all three of us in this weird experiment, or say all of us. I'm hoping all three of us did. I don't even know. We'll all find out together. That's the reason we're doing this. It's been a crazy week for everybody, and we're all in different places. It's been this. We'll see how this turns out. I'm excited to hear that. I'm as excited to hear this as you are. But you've learned some things about me, I guess. You know, you've learned that I have weird thoughts about time travel and career ambitions, I like puppets. So, you know, it's been an educational show as always, and as you're sitting there listening and digesting not only this show but your food, there's nothing left for me to say but I hope you enjoyed your lunch.